27 races are basically irrelevant. There's three left to solve five titles. This is the Brands Hatch preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast, and we are here, the final weekend of the British Touring Car season, and there is still quite a bit still to be decided.
There is.
Some might say that the championship and the main championship is already over, but we do have Jack Sears Independence titles, the Wingfoot Award, to still be decided.
Well, Wingfoot's all but done. As long as Ingram finishes qualifying, he should win that, to be fair. But you are right. There are five, by my count, there are five championships that are still going down to the wire on finals day, which is what you want. Alan Gow has succeeded again in his scripting of having effing go to finals day. Fantastic stuff for the sport and series.
Yeah, we're going to take a little preview into each of them, show you how close each championship is and how we think each driver is going to do, and maybe whoever comes out on top. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments, who you want to win each championship this weekend, who you want to win the overall championship, and whether there are going to be any certain fireworks apart from the celebrations at the end of the day.
But as is now customary, we are heading to Brands Hatch Grand Prix Circuit for the conclusion of the season. We are not heading there this weekend. It is being hosted here, and my partner has very kindly offered to do the cooking for us. Excellent. So I don't have to provide any, well, I provide the food, but I don't have to do any of the actual work. So she very kindly put that forward, and she's got about four different menus in her head at the minute. So
wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you never say when I'm actually cooking, but when she's doing it, suddenly you're looking forward to it more. Interesting. So Brands Hatch, this is the long circuit of the outer loop. So it's 2.43 miles long, 10 corners, and David in the touring cars in 1958. Do you know who has the qualifying lap record here?
Was that in a race? Is it Ingram?
It's not. I was surprised because that lap he set when he won his first championship was a lap of the ages, wasn't it?
It was an astonishing lap, yeah. However, it was about half a second quicker than anyone else.
However, it was actually Ash Sutton last year who set it. He did a 1:29.2.
Yep.
Do you know who holds the race record for Brands Hatch Grand Prix?
Camish in the Honda?
Sutton.
Okay.
From 23, so the dominant year of the car, on a 1:32, so about a second slower than what he then achieved in qualifying a year later. I was surprised because in my head, this is a BMW / Hyundai track.
Yep.
However, if there are any green shoots for Sutton, and those green shoots may be diminishing by the hour, there is potential that the car does go quickly here. He will have more boost than Ingram in the qualifying session in the first race. There will, of course, be the tyre strategy to consider as well. I'm trying to make a case. It's not going particularly well, particularly when I look back at the last year's actual race results. So race one, Jake Hill won that from Colin Turkington from Tom Ingram. You may remember that Turkington's car was about 7 times the width it normally was. Excellent driving from Colin to help Hill win that race. Race two, Ingram fought back and took a race win, but Hill did finish second with Turkington in third. And then race three, Sutton does what he always does and gets a win at Brands Hatch. He won that from Hill again from Cook in third. I've also done the last 3 years between Sutton and Ingram because they are the only two that can win the outright title this weekend. In 24, Ingram had a third, a first and a sixth. Sutton, who had taken pole, had a retirement, a fifth and a first. So a good fight back in race two. So that hopefully he'll know there is pace in that car.
Yep.
23, Sutton had Ingram had a second and a fourth. Sutton had a first, and a 13th. He'd already won the championship by that point.
Dusted.
Exactly. And in 22, Ingram had a first, and a fifth. Sutton had a fourth, a fifth, and a fourth. So it's fairly even Stevens over the last couple of years. They're both very capable of taking wins here. Ingram last year, I'm not saying he lost the championship because they got the setup wrong in race three, but if you remember, it was a greasy race.
Hill also had a very strong weekend.
He had
a very wide BMW behind him in Colin Turkington.
And got the setup calls mattered. Yep. Ingram got the setup wrong in race three on greasy conditions, and it meant he couldn't get through the field fast enough. And actually, towards the end of the race, I had to slip back through it.
Yeah, looking at the dynamics of the track, you would expect those long straights, especially that back straight, and then the long run down onto the pit straight, to be Hyundai dominant and the engine that they've got.
I agree. The only concern, if you're Ingram, would be, though, you've only got that 1 second of boost, particularly for race one, and there's going to be a lot of fast cars behind you. You presume three of those being Nappers, his own teammates, and they're going to have a problem because what do they do? They've got the manufacturers and the teams to think of as well. They can't just sit behind Ingram, particularly if he's the cork in the bottle. And then, of course, the Toyota's had a bit of a rebirth in recent weeks with the switch to the new engine, and BMW go well here. So
I think we're going to have a strong BMW weekend.
I agree.
And especially with Hill going for that third position in the championship, especially having missed a round earlier on in the season, where he sits currently is quite astonishing, really. And yes, Robot and Man Camish had a really poor weekend last time out at Silverstone. Hill made the absolute most of it, and he's put himself right back in that battle. And it's his home circuit, and we know what he can do there. So I think he'll be really gunning for that third place in the championship.
Yeah, and as we're on the subject of Hill, of course, we should also mention that he has announced coming into this weekend that he is stepping away from the touring cars for next season.
And his team in MB Motorsport.
Indeed. So Laser Tools are staying on the grid, and they'll be presumably looking for a new partner, possibly a new car. We'll have to see how that develops. But Hill is going into the international GT racing scene.
It didn't take them long for them to announce that, did they?
I kind of don't. I was discussing this with my partner about what Sutton might do in the future. I know I sometimes talk about cars to other people. I'm sorry. The thing is that you are only young once, and unless you are in the nicest possible way, a freak like Alonso and Hamilton, who can stay at the top long into what is, I mean, I say old age, I mean,
into the 40s.
Yeah, in racing terms.
Yeah.
You know, we're even seeing this week Verstappen is just dipping his toe into a few other bits of sports. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out of F1 in a couple of years to pursue these things while he still is young and sharp, you know. And if you ask him to, like, Hill,
win as much and as different things as possible.
If you ask him, like, Hill, who lives and breathes racing, let's be honest, he loves racing.
Yeah, he does.
That's what he loves doing. He loves racing. Obviously, they all do, but
all the way through from the current racing that he does in touring cars, he loves doing his historic stuff.
Collects Sky Electrics.
Yeah.
Does Airfix models. I mean, you know.
It's like going off to do an international racing series where you're pitting yourself, not just against the best in the country, but the best in the world.
And doing tracks you'll never go to otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't blame him at all. And obviously, he'll be looking to finish this year and his exit of touring cars with a bang. It's also worth just remembering, if we cast our minds back to May of this year, BMW dominated the Indy circuit with DeLeon, Hill and Rainford all taking wins. I think as well, Rainford that weekend took the most trophies ever achieved in the touring car weekend, or something silly like that, because he won, I think, two of the three Jack Sears, Jack Sears overall, and a race, and was on the podium for another race as well. A very good weekend for him that particular weekend. And again, as you say, you'd expect the BMW to take that strength into the longer circuit, and actually it should suit them more. There are a few more traction zones and there are the straights, and they do seem to have their straight line speed back now.
I think that's going to mean for an interesting battle in Jack Sears as well, because you've got DeLeon going up directly against Rainford, and also Osborne being effectively what was Motorbase's home circuit, now Alliance Racing. Osborne, we know, goes fairly well at Brands. He'll be on a real high from taking that win last time out at Silverstone.
Agreed.
So I think it's going to be a really interesting battle between those three drivers as to who is actually going to come out on top in that Jack Sears Championship.
So if we take a quick look through the points gaps then. So Ingram does lead the overall championship, 419 to 386, which Sutton's on, which is a 33-point gap. It's hard to see, personally, Sutton can make that up. The only way that happens is if Ingram gets really bad luck, which you don't necessarily want to see anyway. Because the truth is, Sutton
is effectively halfway there.
Yeah.
You need 67 points to be clear, basically, to have confirmed it.
Sutton could win the first race and he'd still be a fairly large chunk of points back.
The fact that Ingram could effectively have a non-finish this weekend or a non-point score.
Probably two non-finishes.
And still be in relative comfort, I would say.
I think he could probably afford two non-finishes this weekend. Possibly. Because Sutton would have to win both of those, or win one and certainly finish. With the way the tyres work as well, I think Ingram could probably sit out race one. Not advisable, but could probably sit out race one and two and still win the championship. So I think it's going to take something biblical for Sutton to turn that around personally. But if anybody can, it is Ash Sutton, isn't it? In the Jack Sears, that's incredibly close as well. So DeLeon is on 417, Rainford is on 409, and Osborne just with a gnat's hair chance of it on 369.
It's going to be tricky for him.
Yeah.
We know that he likes his circuit, but it is a points gap to make up. I think he's going to have to be looking for both those BMWs to have at least two non-finishes to drag himself back into it.
Or hope that somebody like Dexter or Buxton wants to really get involved in the Jack Sears this weekend, which I think is unlikely.
But I think that Rainford versus De Leon this weekend is going to be a really good battle. Agreed. As we know how well the BMWs go.
Agreed. You couldn't really get much closer in the teams and manufacturers. So in the teams, Napa Racing UK lead that by 700 points to Virtue's 697. So only a 4-point swing needed this weekend. I mean, toss a coin for that. Yep. I really don't know how that's going to go. And then in the manufacturers, Alliance leads Accelerate. Damn, they have to have different names for this, but it is what it is. By a single point in that. So Alliance have 763. Accelerate have 762.
I think both of those could literally come down to the last lap of the last race.
Agreed.
And it'll be a case of drivers swapping positions or possibly even someone unfortunately having a puncture. Or
but also, of course, it's going to be a little bit of a lottery to who the teams nominate to be the manufacturer's point scorers that weekend. You'd assume it'd be Sutton and Camish against against Chilton and Ingram.
Yep.
However, we've seen...
What kind of weekend Chilton is going to have?
Well, and Camish, for that matter. Both had pretty poor weekends out at Silverstone. Yep. So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting in its own right as well. And then in the independents, that's also very, very close. So Lloyd leads the way on 377. Mikey Doble is on 372. And Chris Smiley, who had a bit of a shocker at Silverstone, is on 364. So still well within touching distance. It should be just mentioned that Restart Racing are already confirmed as the provisional independent champions. Obviously, that will be ratified and confirmed at the end of this weekend. But unless they pick up some absolutely mind-blowing penalties and decide to change every engine seven times, I don't see...
I'm not sure Lloyd can afford to.
No. So Restart are, for all intents and purposes, the independent teams champion.
Yes, yeah, and there's around about, I believe, 16 points different in the Wingfoot Award between Camish and Ingram at the top.
Just
some people care just about it, mate. Some people
I can't
care.
Find anything. No, I can't find a damn to give.
Oh dear. Weather wise, and I know it's little...
there's no point. Every time we do the weather on here, it changes by the weekend. I was going to get cold and wet at Silverstone. I just got cold. The rain would have warmed me up.
Okay, fair. It is looking like it's going to be a very blustery day on Saturday. So,
60 degrees, sunshine. We're going to have heat wave you've never seen before.
Wrap up nice and warm.
Or don't. Who knows?
And then it's looking like we're just going to get cloud cover on Sunday. So I don't think weather's going to be thrown into the equation.
Equation, even. Or occasion. The occasion of the equation.
So I think it is just going to be down to raw pace, getting set up right, and how they're going to work out a tyre strategy this weekend.
Do you know what I want to see? And I've been thinking about
touring cars?
Very good. A support package would be nice.
Yeah, it would be.
I've been thinking how to word this.
Oh, no.
If I'm Sutton or Ingram, I'm quite disappointed in some ways to how teammates have not done what Turkington did last year so far. So what I mean by that is that I can't get out of my head the Ingram pass on row bottom at Loughfield at Silverstone, how easy it was. I cannot get it out of my mind just how...
You're wanting a Perez kind of defence.
I don't want people being speared off.
No.
I don't want Robot just to turn into Ingram and just, you know, break his suspension or send him across the grass. Yeah. But I
considered putting that down for one of my predictions this weekend.
That did happen to Turkington in the Camish year, didn't it? Where,
yes.
Yeah. where Neil, I think, had an oh no moment with Turkington. But
I run into the back of it.
Yeah, so I don't want to see that necessarily. But what I do want to see is a little bit more rugged defence from the teammates. I think that I just can't get it out of my head how easy it was for Ingram on that move. And I don't want Robot to push him across the grass or make it dangerous. But it's been a couple of times where Ingram's had to get past Camish and Robot quite easily, and Sutton's had to get past Chilton fairly easily.
Yep.
A bit more robust with Morgan and Proctor.
Yeah,
But again, Proctor's probably the most robust. I just want to see... What I want to see is that it be a bit exciting and have a bit of jeopardy in it. Because at the minute, it just feels like if Ingram gets behind one of those two, he'll get past fairly easily. If Sutton gets behind one of the Virtue team, he'll get past fairly easily. Obviously, Cook will let him through because they're good mates, as we know. So if that happens on the weekend, that will play out. But and I also don't want to see, if one of them has a problem in race one and gets put to the back of the grid for whatever reason, I don't want to see the rest of the field sticking their indicators on to let him through. I really hate that.
Yep, agreed.
And I, you know, you should... every position you earn in touring cars, you should fight for. And I understand that if you are...
If you had a point system where points were given for every single position, that may be the case.
I look forward to your updated utopia at the end of the season. We might save that for awards night, maybe.
There are plenty of people out there that want to know.
Are there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to me, not you.
Your family doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we'll probably reveal that on the awards season. But yeah, I want to see this weekend is good, hard racing and none of this nonsense of just letting somebody through because they are title champion. Obviously, don't punt them off, but don't just put your indicator on and let them through because, what is the point? What's the rest of the season? What's the point of the rest of the season? That's the way it's going to be done.
Well, qualifying on Saturday is going to be starting at, all being well, 3:15. Mm-hmm. And that could have a fairly big bearing on how the races go for this weekend.
Yes, Will Buxton, you're absolutely right.
Thank you. Because if we see them struggle like they did at Silverstone, it could be a case of they're fighting for lowly points around 10th and that isn't going to be enough for Sutton. Sutton needs to be going out. He needs to be in that Super 6. He needs to be taking 2, possibly 3 victories this weekend. And we may even see the same situation with what happened with Plato. And it will take 3 wins and it still won't be enough.
Agreed. I think the teammates have got a big part to play in qualifying on Saturday as well. There's going to need to be toes.
There's going to be sacrifices, I think.
And there's got to be toes. They're going to have to toe and make up for the lack of boost that Ingram and Sutton have by getting toes down that long straight into the... out part of the circuit and over the start finish line where possible. They're going to have to really work it this weekend, and of course that could all go to rubbish for
it can all go tits up, mate.
if they don't get in the same qualifying group I don't think you can rule out the possibility that if that does happen that one of them goes out in the first part of qualifying.
Do you think we could possibly see a little bit of tactical blocking, shall we say, if they are in alternate groups and you've got teammates from the corresponding camps?
I want to see,
it'd be interesting in the stewards bus at the end of the weekend then.
I like to see the envelope pushed in sport. So the term beep housery, I absolutely love it. The Mercedes DAS system was perfect housery, but you also kind of just got to go, yeah, that's brilliant, fair play, you found a loophole in the rules, fair play. And I just think the racing is best when the envelope's being pushed. It's not so good when everyone's being all nicey-nicey and, you know, I want to see a little bit. I don't want to see sort of super, you know, touring car era of just playing dodgems and I'm going for first and Manzanana, all that kind of stuff. Because actually, because it was Silverstone last time out, we had to see that for the 50,000th time. And actually, the standard driving is appalling. It is literally bumper cars. I don't want to see that. We only enjoy it now because of the rose-tinted element to it. But I do want to see a bit of aggression and a little bit of, making it hard for each other while staying mostly the right side of the law.
Well, the races on Sunday for the touring cars start at 11:25. Mm-hmm. All races are 15 laps, obviously, unless we get a safety car, we could have up to 3 laps added on. The second race is at 2:05. And the final race of the weekend and of the championship will be starting at 5:30, as long as everything else goes to plan. Now, with the support package this weekend, we do have the Porsche Sprint Challenge, mm-hmm. we have the F4s, we have the Virtue Mini Challenge, and we also have the Carrera Cup. So, a slightly fuller Sunday of sport, of racing, for everyone at the track and people at home to watch along with. And I do hope that develops a little bit more going ahead into next year.
Yes. I think I've said enough on that throughout the season, so I will not start a new soapbox rant here. Instead, we shall go into a break, and when we come back, we shall do our predictions for the final time this season. Do you know what really makes me sad, Sam?
Liverpool losing.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
To Crystal Palace in the final minute.
Yeah.
Close to home? Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up. No, it's when I look at the stats. On the one hand, I'm so happy we see the amount of people that listen to the podcast, but then I compare it to the subscriber list and it's chalk and cheese, mate. It's Alexander Isak compared to I don't know, who played for Cambridge in the 90s? I don't know. Somebody low level. And it's sad.
Yeah, we can see how many of you out there are not yet subscribed. And if you haven't already done so, go and press that subscribe button down below. Make sure you get the bell on. And we're also on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok as well. Now, we're coming to the end of the season. So this will be our final preview. But that's not where the video stops. We will bring you videos in the off season. We'll update you with all the news, and there should be plenty coming, especially with that recent Plato update.
Yeah, 30 years, by the way, since you won a trophy. Pipe down.
Yeah, right.
Right then, prediction time, and it is kind of close. You have a 3-point gap. You are 26, 23 up. We've seen swings like that.
It's a crucial and critical weekend, isn't it? And it's not just in the main championship.
No, in many ways, this is the more important championship, isn't it? Yeah, this is what people really listen to the pod for.
There are plenty of bragging rights and trophies in order. And when we get to our final award show of the year, we'll be unveiling our championship orders,
yep,
and working out who did the best with the predictions there as well.
And doing your alternative championship. And we're working on a few extra surprises for this year's award show. So, as the advert said, make sure you subscribe.
Yep.
Right then, if we look to our general race predictions, first of all, who's going to win what? Poll on Saturday, you are going for?
I've gone for Jake Hill.
I understand.
I think he needs to have an excellent weekend. We know he goes well here, and to take that third in championship, I think will be a nice icing on the cake for him to then step away from the sport.
I understand the BMW logic. I'm going for Rainford based on the fact he's going to have that more boost. He's going to be high on confidence knowing that he won here in shorter layout, I know, but won here earlier in the year. And as we've looked at the weather as it stands, there is no reason to think the BMW won't go well here. And it does go well here historically.
It does. Moving on to then three race winners. And I think critically, and I think we've both gone for this weekend, Sutton has to win at least
one. Yes, agreed.
Which is why I've got him down for one.
As have I.
I think Hill will probably go off. If he does take pole, will go off and win that first race. Just he's scarpered at the start of the season when at Brands.
I think
he'll do the same again.
I think the way that the touring car script writers work means he will win a race this weekend, because obviously he's leaving the sport potentially never to come back. So I think that, yeah, he will win a race this weekend, because that's what the script writers up above always sort of put forward for these sort of things.
And then my final one for the weekend is Gordon Shedden.
Yeah, I've also gone Toyota. I've gone for Josh Cook. Goes well around this circuit, unless he gets punctures, but generally goes well around this circuit. And that Toyota...
Will he be too busy letting Sutton through, though? I don't think Shedden would.
I don't think Cook will, because I think by the time Cook's in the race three position, which I think it'll be done anyway. But just quickly on Toyota, they must be kicking themselves for wasting over half a season of the old engine, because the cars look different gravy now they've put those new engines in. They look... the difference is unbelievable.
What's the saying? It's the sign of being crazy when you keep doing the same things over and over again.
Yeah. Expecting different results.
And expecting different results, yeah. But they've changed stuff up and they're going much better now.
And it's also a pretty sad indictment on the engine they had, just how bad it is. But anyway, and then on terms of the Jack Sears, I've gone for Darrell De Leon. I think that he's got a gap that I just don't see being closed because of his consistency throughout the season. So I'm sticking with him.
I've gone for Osborne this weekend, okay. So we can guarantee that Rainford's going to win it.
And then he can be very happy with us, so absolutely fine there. Okie dokie, let's do the general predictions. This is probably where it's going to be won and lost.
I think this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, I'll go first with my first one. Okay, so Sutton outscores Ingram in all three races, but not enough to win the title.
Yeah, I think not enough to win the title is probably about right, because of the amount of gap that there is. But I also think Ingram will go, you can finish a place or two ahead of me, and that doesn't make too much of a difference.
See, I'm not sure what Ingram we will get. Will we get that one, or will we get the one that goes, if I win race one, it's done?
Yeah. The Ingram that we saw at Silverstone going hell for leather.
And that's not, because anything could happen in race two and three. Yeah. So let's just get the race one. So I'm not sure, but I think the Sutton will come out fighting, but I do think that ultimately he will outscore Ingram in all three races, but not enough to win the championship.
I think we're going to see Robo and Kamish let Sutton through at some point to gain extra points in the championship race.
It's got to be an obvious pass.
To be an obvious pass. It'll be an indicator on from Robottom or something like that, and a clear slowing down.
Pulling out in the straight. It's not going to be Sutton overtaking.
A missed gear.
Yeah, it's not going to be Sutton overtaking into a corner, because that could be a genuine over. Unless it's so obvious that they've gone. Yeah. That's absolutely fine. Okay, I've gone for at least one car will need recovering from Druid. So they'll need help at Druid. So that be
outside assistance.
That's the word, outside assistance. So Marshall pushing it back on the track, so then limp back to the pit lane, or needs to be snatched.
Hopefully they don't snatch it, because we've talked about that plenty.
I don't mind so much, though, because there is at least a post that makes
true
lot more logical sense. But yeah, and it's a slow corner on the safety car.
My second one is a bit bold. It's very bold, actually. Both the Jack Sears and the independent leaders going into the weekend, so DeLeon and Lloyd, will not end up winning their respective championships by the end of the weekend.
I think one, because Lloyd's luck is as such, but yeah.
Rainford's not that far off.
No,
he doesn't
he's not.
Take much of a point swing. And as you say, he went well hit earlier in the season.
Yeah, but so did DeLeon.
And you've gone for DeLeon for Jack Sears' win. I'm channeling that energy.
Okay.
But yeah, bold. We'll see.
And I've gone for Toyota to score at least one podium, outright podium. If Buxton was to get the Jack Sears, it wouldn't count outright podium.
I've gone for a Toyota one as well. I've gone for Cook, Aaron Taylor-Smith and Shedden all to register a top 10 finish.
Yep. And just to clarify, back on your Rowbottom Camish one, that doesn't have to be in the same race. It's across the weekend. Yeah.
Yes.
Just for clarification purposes.
Yeah.
For anyone out there who wants to exploit loopholes. Yeah. And then, as it is the final race weekend of the season, we are bringing back our famous advert bingo. Before we came on air, we did a draft. Sam won the coin toss and went first. So your first pick was?
My first pick was we will see the guide dogs advert. Yeah,
stole it on right from beneath me.
Yeah, I knew I had to get in there early with that one.
Yep. I've gone for the Flash Dust Mop. Now, I can't remember the exact product name, but the advert, there are two children playing on games console. Their parents are out. They do the cleaning and they come back. The parents are like, wow, they've done the cleaning. And then they're still playing on the Xbox or PlayStation or whatever console is. You know the advert I'm talking about.
If you say so.
I've given a description there that will clearly match fine. The advert. Yes, so yes. Yeah.
I've gone for a lot more simple on my calls.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I've gone for the Mary Curie advert.
Yeah.
Fairly straightforward.
Yeah. I've gone for Stay Shore Cruise Insurance. Oh, I don't think it's necessarily cruise. I think it's travel insurance, to be fair, but it's Stay Shore Insurance and they insure the over 50 market.
Yep.
They're nice purple advert with a big S, so I'm hoping I've got the right name.
Now,
because if it turns out it's like stay cruise and you don't let me have it, I'm gonna kill you. So yeah,
I gave you the third pick first here.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was really struggling to choose between mine. So your third pick.
Yeah, I went for the postcode lottery. Now this is a bit of a lottery in itself, because there will be a lottery shown, because there always is. The question is, which one is it going to be? We've seen,
could it be both?
It could, we've seen this year, we've seen the Poppy Lottery, we've seen the Postcode Lottery, I think we've seen the RNLI Lottery, and I almost went for the RNI, and now thinking about it, I should have done. That's just coming to my head. Damn it. We've seen lots of lotteries throughout the year. I think Marie Curie has been a lottery in the past, actually. So yeah, there will be a lottery this weekend. Which one?
I'm going for the Poppy Lottery as my third and final choice. Mm. I did have some other options out there, like Red Cross, Cataclean, Sun Life. Ones we have seen before.
No sad donkeys this year. The bear one's big at the minute.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get a point each for one of those. Yeah, we'll see how it all pans out, but there's plenty to play for still this weekend.
Yeah.
And just adding those extra couple of points that you could gain could make all the difference.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've done enough, but we'll have to see.
Any final thoughts going into the weekend?
I'm just looking forward to a final weekend of racing. I can't believe that we are here already. It seems like only yesterday we were at the opening weekend at Donington.
It's been a really quick season. It feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, media day only feels a couple of weeks ago, to be fair. I've enjoyed it. I don't think it's been necessarily a vintage season, because I don't think the title battle has been as close as we have seen it in other years. However, let's see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, I think the season's had lots of peaks and troughs, especially with what's gone on, not just at the top of the field, but also throughout the field.
Are you referring to the carousel that we've had at times?
No, I was more referring to a rather large bonfire, which was completely unexpected. But it'll be interesting to see how PMR go on to finish the season and whether Mikey Dougal can take home that independent driver's title. I think it would be a nice cherry on the top if they could do that.
Particularly having to change the car. Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Let us know your thoughts for this weekend going ahead. Who's going to take the win? Where are you watching from? Just let us know that down in the comments. Make sure you comment down below.
Yeah, what are you eating?
Yeah, what are you eating?
What have you got this weekend? What should my partner cook us?
But until we bring you the review next week, we will be safely watching on the sofa, and we hope you have an enjoyable weekend.
Enjoy the racing.